We're holding on Nun Vov on the base about the middle of the onward, the line against your cloth back, right? I guess we might as well go back to the two dots, two lines,
yeah.
The second line, though, because we kind of had to rush through that. We said Mashiva Bur, also Masham Mutter. We said that whatever, if the guy touches the wine that's in the Bur, then whatever's in the Bur is also the rest, meaning what's in the gas and what's in the pipe leading down to it, is Mutter. That would only apply if he did not take the gargusni, which is a woven basket that they would use as a filter. They put it up under underneath the sinner. No, so it's underneath the sinner. You have the sinner where the wine flows down. At the bottom of it, they would put this gargusni to catch. The wine would flow into it and then flow out of it into the burr. But the point is, that way it would trap some of the solids that are coming down with the wine, the pieces of grape skin and whatnot. So you would take the contents of the gargusni and pour them back into the gas. So this way, when you're doing more pressing up there, then you can get out whatever, you can get more juice out of it. So if you didn't do that, then fine. I will have the gargusni in the gas. But if you took the contents of the gargusni and poured it back into the gas also, then whatever's in the gas in the upper part would be also, because now you have yain nesach that a goy touch mixed in with it. Now, why is it what's in the burr, the goy touched some of it, therefore it becomes also.
Right.
What's in the gargusni now also becomes also for reasons that we're going to discuss in a second. Therefore, now, if you take the gargusni and you take the contents of it and pour it back into the gas, into the upper part, now that part becomes also as well.
Because it touched it.
No, because the goy, the goy touched what was in the burr, therefore that became also. Therefore, what's in the gargusni, which is considered connected to it, as we're going to say in a second, is also also. And now you take what's in the gargusni and put it in the whole service. So now the whole service is also right. So the question is gargusni gufa b'mayko mitzra. So on the face of it, though, you have to ask, how is the gargusni itself, how are the contents of it themselves becoming osir? The nitzik, on the face of it, they're only becoming osir because of nitzik, because you have the column of liquid that connects the gargusni to the burr. Namely, in other words, again, you have wine flowing into the gargusni, and then from there it's flowing out through the holes in the gargusni, because it's a woven basket, it has a hole. It's flowing out through those holes into the burr, and you're going to argue because you have, therefore, the liquid in the gargusni and the liquid in the burr are connected together through that column, through that liquid that's pouring from one into the other.
Is the gargusni connected to the burr, or the burr to the gargusni?
You have gas on the top, then you have thinner. At the bottom of the thinner, you have gargusni, and from the gargusni, it flows into the burr.
Right.
So we're arguing that
the nitzak
goes from the gargusni to the burr, right. Right.
Not the other way around.
Not the other way around. But the point is, if the burr becomes osir, you're going to tell me, therefore, the flow of liquid, that the fact that you have a flow of liquid connecting, going down from the gargusni into the burr, is going to make the gargusni osir as well.
Right.
The problem with that is, shnamin or nitzit chibur, does that mean that you're going to tell me that a flow of liquid is considered that connects two things together?
Seemingly,
but the problem with that is, in the next parak, we have a machloitis on that subject. And in fact, we're not bringing in what Rav Huna is saying over here in that regard. And second of all, Rav Huna himself, he starts by saying over there, nitzit chibur, but then he changes his mind.
Because? Where
in the next parak. So we'll get to that. Right, but the point is that how can you tell me that Rav Huna is saying a din based on the idea of nitzit chibur if he himself ended up changing his mind?
How do you know he's going to change his mind?
Because we're going to see later on Daf Ayin Beis, and we have a story about that. Because Rashi mentions it, or actually Tosfos mentions it over here. Tosfos says that the question is, if Rav Huna himself says it, what's the problem? And the answer is Rav Huna himself changes his mind over there. So the answer is no. Kidatoni Rabkhiya Shapatar Tsulchisoy, just like in that same sugya over there in the next parak, we talk about a case where you're pouring wine through a funnel into a goy's keli, where you have in certain cases the wine that's in the funnel will also become osir. And why is that? Not because of nitzvot, but rather because you're talking about the bottom end of the funnel actually touches the liquid in the container underneath it. Shapatu would actually explain that, like we had earlier, pox of a funnel, like you dented, you banged an avodazara in its face and dented it. So here also, it's like, so to speak, the bottom of the funnel is denting the liquid. It's dipping into it. So then you have an actual connection there, not just nitzik. Hachinami, the same thing over here. Shepachasatur Borer, the same thing over here. You could say that the Borer was so overfull that it overflowed the bottom of the Gagusni, and therefore what's in the Gagusni is connected to the Borer, not by Nisr, not by a column of descending liquid, but it's actually connected because they're. Now, Tosfos brings up a couple of points over here. First of all, in some cases, fine, even we said if you pour the gagusni back into the gas, depending on the circumstances and depending on the different opinions that we hold by, maybe it can be bottled. If there's enough to be mevatel of the shishim, but then you get into the question of is it min b'minoy, which has different rules, which some of those rules we're going to actually talk about.
Bottled shishim, it must imply min b'minoy?
Well, if it's min b'minoy, then it's not going to be so easily bottled. Shishim is min b'she'enu b'minoy, is when you have two different substances mixed together. Okay, so anyway, the Tosfos discusses that a little bit, but more to the point, also the bigger Tosfos over here, Gagusni, deals with the, among other things, with the question. By that logic, you have a nitzik. If the Gemara assumes, for purposes of the question, that nitzik is a connection, you also have a connection between the gagusni and the borer above it, also through nitzik. Because you also have, the gas above it, because you also have, there's wine flowing, there's grape juice flowing down from the gas into the gagusni. Forget about taking the contents of the gagusni and pouring them back into the gas. Just the fact that
the connection between the bor and the gagusni.
Yeah, if you have then by the same logic, you have a connection between the gas and the gagusni. Right. So Tosfos says the vort is that actually what it is. Not the gagusni. The gagusni itself is though you didn't touch. You touched the bor. But the question is, you still have a flow into the gagusni and a flow from there into the bor. So Tosfos actually brings from Rashi that the difference is you have a direct flow and you have an indirect flow. The gagusni is made in such a way the holes of it are on the sides of it. So therefore you have a flow into it, and then when it gets full to a certain point, then wine starts pouring out the holes in the sides of it. So it's not a direct thing. And in fact, Tosfos actually brings a case where Rashi actually passed in.
So the wine cannot consider that a connection.
So even if we consider that nitzik is a connection, even if we were to say that nitzik is a connection, and we're going to discuss that again in the next parak, nevertheless, nitzik is not a problem. And that Tosfos goes on to say that Rashi actually, there was a scenario where Rashi Paskin in such a case, in a similar case, where there was a nitzik bar nitzik that was allowed. What did you have over there? The case was that you had a guy took a bottle and poured some of the wine into a cup. So now you have a problem of nitzik, so therefore what's in the bottle should become osur. Later on, a yid takes wine from the barrel and puts it into this bottle, and later on puts it into another barrel. So now you have a nitzik bar nitzik. And Rashi Paskin that it's okay. However, then Tosfos goes on to say, maybe not, maybe over here the difference is that what's in the gas is not really full-fledged wine yet. According to the Mishnah Rishonah, it's for sure not, and even according to Mishnah Achronah, we said only when it starts flowing, so that could be a reason to be maple. Not like the Nashi's case, where it was all full-fledged wine.
Not necessarily because
Rashi would say it's nitzak bar nitzak. So the Rivam and Tosfos disagrees with that and says...
Nitzak bar nitzak is not usher?
According to Rashi, it's not usher.
Okay.
But even if we say that nitzik is also nitzik, by nitzik is not.
Right.
But according to the Rivam and Tosfos, it would be if they're both full fledged wine. Here, what's in the gas is not really wine yet.
It's mixed wine.
It's grape juice. But the point is that it's mixed in with grape peels and whatnot. But more to the point is also until it starts flowing down into the gas, it's not considered. It's not also as yai nesach anyway, as we said before.
So, 1 second. Let's say that it flows and then it interrupts and it flows again and it interrupts.
Once it starts flowing within the gas itself, we said it's also, it can become yai nesach.
Even when it interrupts.
Even when it stops afterwards, yes. Yeah. That's what we said yesterday, that you had to have the gas would have to be stoppered and full in order for it not to be a problem. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So here's a case. The Gemara says, "Ahu yinuka de tana avodah zarah the shish shni." There was a child who had learned masechta avodah zarah when he was 6 years old.
Wow.
Wow, it's right. Bomine. So they asked him. They want to test him. The Rashba says, "Mal lidrichem oivikachom magasa." You're allowed to press grapes together with a goy in a wine press. So he said to them, yes, you're allowed to. So they asked him, wait. In this case, obviously, he had that. No, well, they're not asking him in order to pass him practical halacha. They were testing him, they're actually saying. But also, okay, so they start, but we're going to see. There are certain halachas that we may be learning from what he said. Okay. So they ask him, what do you mean you allow to press grapes together with the goy? The goy may be doing nisuch with his hands. So fine, Mishnah is showing, no, we said it's not a problem because it's not considered wine yet, as long as it's in the gas. But Mishnah Achroina is that it's considered wine already at that point. So therefore, don't you have a problem that he can do nisuch with his hands? The answer is, the kid answers, or maybe the Gemara answers, the case can be, let's say, for example, we tie up his hands, so he's not able to do nisuch with his hands. Hold on, it's not so obvious. So the question is, but don't you have a problem, though, that his feet are still touching the wine, and he could be doing nisuch with his feet? Because he's treading the grapes with his feet. The answer is, nisuch diregel lo shmei nisuch. Doing nisuch with the foot is not considered nisuch. So the part of the question is, so there's a good deal of discussion among the Mefarshim of what's going on over here. Among others, that, so first of all, what's the case we're talking about over here? Are we talking about that this is wine of a Jew, where you have that the wine itself belongs to a Jew, and you just have a goy helping with the pressing, or is it the other way around? The wine belongs to the goy, and you're talking about a Jew helping him with the pressing. That makes a difference, again, because you have if it's a Jew's wine, then you can have more reason. If it's a Jew's wine, then if we're saying that it's mutter, then it would mean it's mutter even to drink. If we're saying that it's a goy's wine, it wouldn't be mutter to drink. Fact is, he continues with the processing of it, but at least we'd be arguing it's mutter by not if we say that only his feet are touching it. But if we accept it. The Rif does not even bring this whole case, which means that he doesn't hold of it. He holds that even with the feet, it's possible to do nisuch. Yes, it's not the usual way to do it. And the reason why he says it, basically, the Ran has a long discussion about it, because later on Daf Nun Ches, we're gonna have a case over there involving a case involving a gardim, involving market inspectors where they check the wine and where they can ask for it by their touching it. Even, for example, they suck some of it out with a straw or whatever. So therefore, the Rif and a number of other Rishonim hold, therefore, that overrides this case over here. And therefore, that means that even with the feet, it's possible to do nisuch. We still consider it still author, maybe not nisuch, maybe not full-fledged nisuch, but at least that it becomes author the same way as in the case over there with the agadim, with the market inspectors. You have, on the other hand, the Rambam brings it to a limited extent, that if his hands are tied up, then fine, you still won't be allowed to drink it, but it'll be mutter bahanah, at least, as opposed to if his hands were free, then it'll be also bahanah as well, because he may well have done this. And you have some of the other Rishonim learn that maybe that do accept the conclusion of the Gemara over here that with the feet it's a similar idea basically to what the Rambam is saying, that if he only touched it with his feet, it may be also to drink, but at least it'll be mutter bahanah. And in that case, most of this is pretty much all of this is midrabanan. Midrash, that's only if we actually see him do nisuch. Yeah. Okay. Nisuch means actually pouring pouring. Yeah. All the rest of this is all midrabanan, right? Okay, so basically then it falls into two opinions. Are we saying that we ignore what this kid is saying altogether, and therefore even if he touched it with his feet, it's still awesome?
How can we take a kid?
The fact that the Gemara brought it maybe shows that we should learn something from it. But again, the Rish says no, and other Rishonim say yes. I shouldn't say the majority of the Rishonim. You have some of the Rishonim learn that we do accept some of the conclusions from over here, that if his hands are tied and all he's using is his feet, it may be mutter to have enough. It may not still not be mutter to drink, but at least there'll be mutter to have enough. Hahu ulted to have him in Nahda. Then there was a case in Nahda, the Doshu Yisrov of Gechavim Lahu Chamra, where a Jew and a goy were pressing wine together. Now, Tosfos learns that this is a different case than the previous one, because Tosfos learns that the previous case, the one that the kid was talking about, is where it was a goy's wine. So the question was, is Mutabana or not? Whereas here we're talking
maybe a goy.
There's two different ways of learning it. Tosfos learns that the previous case is talking about a goy's wine, and here we're talking about a Jew's wine, which a goy is helping to press. The Raivad learns that both of them are the same case. That both of them involve a Jew's wine.
Jew's wine.
Yeah. This last case is definitely a Jew's wine, and the previous one that I had learned was also. Okay. So now, the Doshu Yisrael Chavon Lahu Chamra, a Jew and a Goy together had pressed some wine. So is it mutter? Fine. It's mutter bahana. Fine. We'll accept that. But is it mutter to drink? So therefore, Shmuel wasn't sure. But Shaya Shmuel slotted rigri. So Shmuel delayed passing on it for 3 yom tovim. Rashi explains that when it came on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they pressed it together. So now the question is it mutter for a Jew to drink it, given that it's his own, given that it's a Jew's wine?
Who's talking pressing is a Jew?
Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, because many people would gather together for each of the Yom Tovim to learn the halacha of Yom Tov. He wanted, and as we're going to see, the Gemara is going to say, he wants to know whether anybody can bring any raya one way or the other. So the question is my time. Why did he have to delay? Now you have a three-way machloikas on the subject of whether if a goy touches wine with some other part of his body other than his hand, whether it becomes offered. You have Rav Nosson, you have Rav Shimon, and you have the Chacham. So, Ilema Meshum de Kastavar, is it because Shmuel held the Imashkach and Tana de Otter to Rav Nosson, if I can find, among all the people who come from the Yom Tovim, if I can find a Tana, meaning somebody who learns Brises, who will answer like Rav Nosson holds, that will hold that it is also, he will hold that it's also even Bahana, just because the Goy touched, even though no Nisuch was done, after the Bahana, then you're going to say, Shmuel is saying, I want to wait and see if anybody comes and tells me that I have proof the halacha is like Rav Nosson. And what would that be? The Tanya, that it would be also Bahana. The Tanya is the learning of Braisa. Modadoi ben b'yad ben b'regel. If a goy measures a Jew's wine, now normally they would measure it using, let's say, they stick in a stick or something. But sometimes instead, if they don't have a stick available or whatever, sometimes they could use their hand or their foot. They'd stick his hand in and see how far down it goes into the wine or stick his foot in. Same idea. Yimacher. So the Tanakama of that Braisa says you have to sell the wine. It's not also Bahana, but you can't drink it. Rav Nosson says if he did it with his hand, then it's also, and if he did it with his foot, then it's mutter, because, well, again, with the hand you do nisuch, with the foot you don't do nisuch. So
there was another thing you could do nisuch with
it. Yeah, that's what we were discussing before. So now we're talking about, again, Shmuel is talking about this guy did pressing together with a Jew. As far as we know, he only used his feet. So therefore, Shmuel is trying to figure out what the halacha. Are we going to say that he's trying to see whether the halacha might be like a Nosson, who says that it's also if he touched it with his hand, even if it was for purpose of measuring, for example, even if it had nothing to do with Nisuk, he's doing it for the purpose of measuring.
Only.
Yeah.
Only.
Well, Amud Amr of Nosson Biyad, but after all, we see that we can say that Nosson only said if he touched it with his hand. Right. But Rego Mi Amr, who says that he would say if he touched it with his foot?
Right.
That's what I mean. Who says? He said flat out, Biyad also Rego Mutter. So Joseph mentioned some people wanted to take out these words in the Gemara. Yeah, so some people wanted to take out these words in the Gemara, but Joseph says you don't have to take them out. What it means is that Rav Nosson is saying like this. The real problem with a guy touching the wine with his hand is he's going to do shichshuch, which means he stirs the wine or shakes it, whatever, with his hand, and that's a form of nisuch. So we might argue, Rav Nosson might say that, Rav Nosson might say then, that if he does shichshuch, it'll for sure be offer. Therefore, we're going to make a zera even if he sticks in his hand without doing shichshuch. However, we're not going to extend that as far as to say that if he sticks in his foot.
He could do shishur with his foot.
He could, but it wouldn't be necessary. So, but then we're arguing that maybe not. Maybe what it is Rav Nosson would say that. So Rav Nosson would say that if you did shichshuch with the foot, it would be osur. So maybe that's what he means. But no, who says he means that? Maybe he means that if you stick in your foot, even if you do shichshuch, it's still mutter.
That's more unlikely.
But how do we know? Shmuel is waiting around to see if anybody comes and says the halacha is like a nothing. But even if we establish the halacha is like a nothing, that won't mean that he would hold that shichshuch the regel is osur. He may well hold it's mutter. So why is Shmuel waiting around for something that?
So why would he osur it then if it's not shichshuch?
That's the thing. Rav Nachman is saying the yad also regel mutter, meaning if he touched it with his feet, regardless whether he did shichshuch, it would be mutter. So we thought at first to say, the Gemara thinks at first to say that maybe he would say there's a difference between touching it with his feet and shichshuch with his feet.
Right.
Now we're arguing that not necessarily. He may make no distinction at all. A foot is always mutter, even if shichshuch was done. So Shmuel can't be waiting around to see if somebody says like Rav Nachman. Ella, no. The reason why Shmuel is waiting around is the imashkach natana the shori to Reb Shimon. On the contrary, he says, if I can find a tanner who's going to prove that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, who says that it's even mutter to drink, because it's a scenario where the goy touched it without intention to do nisuch, and we have a case later. No. So we have a case later on in our parak. That if a goy falls into a pit full of wine, so Reb Shimon says the wine is even mutter to drink, because even though a goy touched it, there was no intent. He fell in. That's the point. Yeah. No. Come on. You fall in into a pit of wine. There's no intent to fall in. So Shmuel is saying that by the same logic over here, this goy was touching the grapes, obviously, because he was helping press them, but he was only doing it for the sake of pressing, not in order to do nisuch. Therefore, if I can find a tanner throughout any of the next three Yom Tovim, if any of the people who come to hear Hilchos Yom Tov, if I can find somebody who will bring a braisa that shows that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, Eshri after the Bishtiyah, then Shmuel says, I'll be able to be master of this wine, even to drink.
Touching with no intent to do nisuch,
right. Another case in this connection, in the end, I guess Shmuel did not find a braisa to that effect, but so far we have three opinions about it, whether if a goy touches without intent to touch. Right, so we have Reb Nosson who says that it would be osur, even b'hana. We have Reb Shimon who says it would be mutter to drink, and we have the Tanakama of that braisa who says it would be mutter b'hana. So it gets complicated, the whole question of whether it's necessary for the goy's touch to be where he's touching it for the sake of. For the sake of doing nisuch, or whether it only becomes osur. We're going to have, as we go through the Gemaras over here, we're going to see there's a lot of different details. There can be when he's touching it without intent to touch anything at all. There can be when he's touching it not even realizing it's wine. There can be when he's touching it for some other purpose, such as to measure it or whatever. There's many different opinions among the Rishonim how to work out the various things that we're going to see in the Gemaras over here.
Okay. If we know that Dave Gori has practiced Avodah Zarah.
That doesn't matter. Most Gori, even those days, practiced Avodah Zarah. It didn't make a difference.
So why would we say it's mutter?
Because, if he's touching it not even knowing it's wine, or if he's touching it not for the sake of touching the wine per se, but just for the sake of measuring it or pressing it or whatever, that may be different. So in general, wine touched by a goy is also because machsheves goy lava dezara, but there can be a case where he touches a shaloi b'kavana, for example, that's different.
So when he touches a bottle?
If he's touching the outside of the bottle, that's different. Yeah, if we're talking about he touches the actual wine, or moves it or whatever, yeah. Okay.
Some people today say,
if a goy looks at wine, then you should. If a goy saw wine, then you should.
That's very different from that, of course.
But even then, it only applies if it's in the open, not if it's in a closed bottle. Yeah.
Apikabale.
As far as I know, only open. What? Yeah.
Now, to look at the wine.
I don't know. It's apikabale. I have no idea. I don't know.
That's not the other.
All right, let's go.
He has to touch the wine.
Yeah. Or, yeah, or do shichshuch or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So we talked about earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about Bishul, we talked about what, right, what temperature does it have to reach? And what,
80 Fahrenheit?
80 Celsius.
80 Celsius?
Yeah.
And like the Shechmona says, it needs to be the Tichon.
I know, we talked about it earlier in the Masechta. We mentioned what, I mentioned what Rav Moshe Feinstein says about it, I mentioned what, yeah. Right, okay, all right. But on top of that, it is worth mentioning that it says in Shulchan Aruch that again, goyim nowadays typically are not such fanatic Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and in particular also they don't do nisuch as a regular ritual of theirs anyway. So therefore,
Is there a question? So therefore,
it brings in Shulchan Aruch that yesh misha omer, that if he touches it, therefore we go down one level. If he touches it shaloi v'kavana, for example, you might even be able to drink it. If he touches it v'kavana, it'll still be also to drink, but it'll be motzei b'hana. So according to that opinion, it would come out that you don't usually have a case nowadays where it would actually become also b'hana. The most it could become is also b'shisim. You can sell it, for example. You can sell it. In those days, they sometimes use it for laundry, whatever. Yeah. All right. Let's go on. I mean, happened a case in Bira. I'm a city in Babel. A guy was climbing up a palm tree, by Isilu Liva, and he was taken down from there a lulav. Bahadi the Konoches, as he was coming down from the tree, Noga Bereisha de Luliva Bechamra Shalei Bekavana. He touched, using the tip of the lulav, he touched some wine without intending to. So what's the din of that wine?
Coming down from the tree.
He's holding the lulav in his hand. Accidentally, the tip of it touched some wine. So what's the din? Shavya Rav was a buni lo'ovdei kachav. So Rav was master at... Hold on. So Rav allowed the owner of that wine to sell it to a goy. In other words, it's muta b'hana, it's just also to drink. Now, that's the gears that we have in front of us. Many of the Rishonim dispute that because they say the fact that a goy is touching something using something else doesn't necessarily make it yayin nesa.
So far we've been talking about directly, right?
So later on in the parak, we're going to be talking about ken. In the next parak, we're going to be talking about cases where he uses something else, where he uses a stick or whatever. But there can be different cases. Remember over here it was shaloi v'kavana, so he didn't even mean to touch the wine. So anyway, many of the Rishonim accept the gears of Rabbeinu Hananel, that what happened was not that he touched the wine with the stick, with the lulav. He touched it directly with his hand. All it is he was holding the lulav and coming down the tree, and he lost his balance. Because the point is that he lost his balance. He didn't intend to touch the wine. He lost his balance or whatever, and therefore he accidentally touched the wine. So only then would it be also if it was shaloi v'kavana and he touched it to something else, then most of the Rishonim say it would be mostly to drink. Yeah. Okay. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked Rav, How can you say it's mutter to have hanah from, to sell it to a guy? You yourself are the one who said, even a newborn Gersha baby, if he touches wine, makes it yayin nesek. So you don't need kavana. A newborn baby obviously has no kavana, and it's still also.
Yeah.
So he answers them, fine, you can say that I said that, but that means I said it's also to drink. Did I ever say that it's also b'hana? So by the same logic, yes, by the same logic over here, when he touched it indirectly or directly, according to the different Rishonim, with shaloi v'kavana, you can argue, yeah, it's also, I'm saying it's also b'shtiyah, but it still can be moved to b'hana. It doesn't contradict what I said before.
For the child, he said it's also,
without specifying, but he means that it's also b'shtiyah. So the same thing over here, it's also b'shtiyah.
That's a child.
Yes. Yeah. Tosos, by the way, mentions that there's a difference later on. Again, we had the opinion of Rav Shimon before that if a goy falls into a burr of wine, then you're allowed to drink the wine. And Rav says the halacha is like Rav Shimon over there. So why over here is it different? The difference is, Tosos says that When you have a child touching it, fine, at some point you have to draw the line. There can be an older child. In fact, the Samosophist, as we said before, about that 60-year-old who was learning, a 60-year-old Jewish kid who was learning Avodah Zarah.
Right.
So the same way as you have a 60-year-old Jewish kid who knows his way around in the sector, Lahavdil, you can have a small Goyish kid who knows his way around Avodah Zarah. You got to draw, you can't, you, wherever you draw the line, it might be a little arbitrary, therefore you may, across the board. No, but we need kavana. You need kavana. That's the point. Kavana. We said before in the Masechta that it has to be that your Jehovah's Kiva Avodah Sechavim of Shamshayim, and then he has to know his way, you know, he knows what Avodah Zarah is. Yeah. Anyway, in order to make it, yeah. So anyway, that's the point. So therefore, so the vote is, you can't, if you have a cotton touch it and you allow it, then where you're going to draw the line. Eventually, if God will may touch it, and you'll allow it also, which you can't do. Whereas the idea that a person falls into a bow, that's such an unusual thing, we don't have to be goes around that. Okay. Gufa, getting back to what Rav just said, Amar Rav, Chinik ben Yomei Oseh Yayin Nesach, even a newborn baby can make wine Yayin Nesach.
If Avodah Zarah itself falls into the wine.
What does that have to do with anything?
No, I'm not.
Nothing. Nothing?
It's Mutar B'Shtiyah?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Okay. Okay, Gufa, Amar Rav, Chinik ben Yomei Oseh Yayin Nesach, we said that Rav says that even a newborn baby, if he touches wine, makes a Yayin Nesach, at least as far as drinking, we said. We learn in a braita, if somebody buys slaves from goyim, and he has these slaves undergo mila, but not tevila, so they're not full-fledged avodim knanim yet. They're still considered goyim, because they're just like a regular ger who only had mila and not tevila, he's still considered a goy. And the same way you have children born to a shifcha that's in your household, where so even though they were born in a Jewish household, they still need mila and tevila also. This is Rashi says we're talking about where the mother hadn't had tevila before she conceived them, because otherwise they don't need their own tevila. But if they were born, whatever, before the mother had tevila, they themselves need mila and tevila. So even though they were born in a Jewish household, same thing. If they only had mila but not tevila, so the din is rukan umidrosan bashuk tameh. So their saliva and anything they step on in the shuk, in the street, will be tame, because we have the usual rule, midrabanan, that the saliva of goyim, and anything they touch, anything they step on, or lean on, or whatever, is considered tame, because they're considered zavim, midrabanan, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So these people are still considered goyim for that purpose. Therefore, these things are tame. The reason why I'm mentioning the shuk, one explanation, is because even though suffix tumah v'shuk at abim tahar, here it's not a question of suffix tumah. So even b'shuk, it's still tame. The amri lo tahar. Some midrabanan, right, of course. So this is what Rashi says. Even though it's only a suffix tumah, because it's not a suffix tumah, it's a vadei tumah. So therefore, it applies even to Rishus Rabim. But Amri la tahar. But a different version says that some say instead that their spit and their midrash is tahar, because it's such an unusual thing. The scenario that the Chachamim didn't have a reason to be goyzer on this. Anyway, continues the Braith. The Yenon, what about wine that they touch? G'dolim osim yayin nesach, k'tanim ein osim yayin nesach. Only if they're adults are they able to make a yayin nesach when they touch it. That's what we have to figure out. K'tanim ein osim yayin nesach. Whereas k'tanim don't, that's the question. That's why we're asking on now. The Elohein g'dolim v'Elohein k'tanim. What is the definition of g'dolim versus k'tanim for this purpose? G'dolim means yoidim b'tiv avodas chachavim l'masham sheha. Adult means when they're old enough to know about what Avodah Zarah is and how it serves and so forth, so they know the rituals and they know the whatever. Kanim enim yoidim b'tiv avodas chachavim l'masham sheha. And then kanim is when they're below that age.
So that's without
intent. Right, that's the point. Katoni miyas g'dolim ein k'tanim loy. Now the point is, the Braita says that g'dolim can make a yayin nesach, k'tanim can. What are you, Rav, telling me that even a tinik ben yoimoy can make a yayin nesach? Yeah, ben yoimoy, even if he's born on the same day he was born. No. Ben Yoima means even when he was born. I said before, the Sam Sofer says before, there was a Gemara that mentioned before you got here, that there was a 6-year-old who would learn the Sechta Avodah Zarah and was discussing knowledge of these halachas in it. So therefore, the Sam Sofer says, why did the Gemara have to make a point that he was 6 years old? Because the same way as you have, normally only adults learn Gemara, but here you had a 6-year-old who was precocious and was able to do it. Lahavdil by the Goyim, you can have a precocious kid who knows about Tiv Avodah Sechavim L'Masham Sheha when he's much younger than the usual. Therefore, again, like Tosafot says, we're not going to start drawing the line of Ben Yoimo Nach, but a kid of an older age, because where are we going to draw the line? wherever we draw the line, it's going to be arbitrary. At some point, there's going to be some extra precocious thing. Okay, but whatever. Nevertheless, one to make it clear. Once it applies,
you think about it.
All right. So once you have, once you have certain canon, then the ikal migzer otu gadol, as Tosfos says, that once you have, if a cotton touches it, you have a reason to be goyder, because then you might confuse it with a gadol touching it. Because you have to draw the line somewhere, and it would be hard to draw the line as an absolute thing. Fine, but so we're not. We're saying that when, so that's the point. The Braita is saying when the Yodim Achiva Baris Chacham Mamashe are not. So Katanim Yes, Golem Ain, Ptanim Loy. The point is, though, so we say that only if they're adults, not if they're children. So how are you, Rab, saying that even a child, even a Ben Yoimo, can make a Yain Meser? The answer is, Tilgama Abnei Shvachas. You're right, but you have to explain that the distinction between Golem and Ptanim over there is not talking about the case of a Bodim that were bought from the Obdi Chachavim. It's talking the distinction between Gdolim and Ptanim is going on the Bnei Shvachas. Since they grew up in a Jewish household, unlike the ones that you bought from a guy, therefore we can assume the Ptanim, therefore there's less reason to assume they're doing it for the sake of Nisuch, for the sake of Avodah Zarah, as opposed to when you buy them from the Goyim, then it doesn't make a difference yet. Okay, so the question is, Havachim Kamar, but the Braita said the same way, it sounds like it's trying to equate them completely. The answer is Aruko no Madrasa. No, but the equation, the Bechain is referring to as far as their saliva and as far as their midrash, that they're still considered Zavim. That part applies as long as they only had Mila and not Tvila, whether they were bought from Goyim or whether they were born in a Jewish household. Either way, but not as far as the wine. Okay, the question is, Hanukha Lamandra Matame, fine, that works according to the opinion in the Braisa that says that Ruko no Madrasa and Bashuk Tame. What are you going to do according to the opinion that says it's Tahar? Why is the Braisa equating? Why is the Braisa equating them then? The answer is yes, but according to that, what we can say is what the point is. We're saying what's the case of the slaves that were bought from Goyim? It has to be a case parallel to the Bnei Shvachas. Meaning like this, Ma Bnei Shvachas Molo V'Lo Tov Lo Udois in Yain Netzach. Just like the Bnei Shvachas, the ones who were born in the Jewish household to a Goyish and maid servant, who had not yet had Tevila, but then we're saying Molo V'Lo Tov Lo Udois in Yain Netzach, only if they had Mila but not Tevila, is when they're still able to make it Yain Netzach, as the Braita is saying, when they're adults, that is. But Molo V'Tov Lo Loi, but once they had Mila or Tevila, once they've gone through all the stages of becoming an Eved Knani, they are not able to make it Yain Netzach. Avodim came, the same thing holds true as far as Avodim who are bought from Goyim. Now, what's the chiddush in it? One, you would think, once they have Milo Tvila, of course, they're full-fledged Jews. Yeah. No, La Puki Mid Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. That comes to tell us, not like Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, the Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, Halakeach Avodim in Aodi Gechavim, Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, if a person buys Avodim from Goyim, Afapisha Molu Ritovlu, even if they had Mila and Tvila, still Oisin Yain Nesach, still they're able to make wine Yain Nesach by touching it, until mentioning Avodah Zarah is lost from their mouth, in other words, until they stop mentioning Avodah Zarah, because they have, it's a natural thing, the same way as we, Lahavdil, mention Hashem in conversation all the time, and they talk about Avodah Zarah all the time. Eventually, so during the first time, during the first period of time, after you bought them from a goy, they're still in that mentality. So even though they went through the technicalities of Mila and Tevila, they still are mentioning Shem Avodah Zarah, and Shmuel holds that's enough for them to make wine Yain Netzach. Kamash Malan, Deloy. Therefore, the Braita wants to tell us, no, even though they're still mentioning names of Avodah Zarah, once they had Milo or Tevila, then that's it. They can no longer make it Yain Netzach, even if it, because the fact is they had Milo and Tevila. They're now a full-fledged Jew. Because it means now they're a full-fledged Jew. That's it.
So even though they
still mention Avodah Zarah, it's because they've gotten used to mentioning Avodah Zarah.
Jews will mention Avodah Zarah.
Because that's not normal. A Jew doesn't grow up mentioning Avodah Zarah, so therefore it's not part of his standard conversation. But over here, over here it would be allowed. Tosfos mentioned.
What about if they've seen. Bowing to Avodah Zarah.
If it's been bowing to Avodah Zarah, obviously that's different, yeah. Anyway, Tosfos actually makes a distinction that when it comes to an Eved, where after all, an Eved becoming an Eved Kanani and undergoing Milo Tevila, there is a certain amount of compulsion there. He has to do it willingly, as the Gemara says in Yevamos, but still, there is, after all, he's afraid of his master. So therefore, he's not maybe not this guy of Aleph Shalom. Therefore, maybe you'd have to wait until Avodah Sechavim leaves his mouth. But when it comes to a regular ger who becomes a ger fully voluntarily, then you don't have to wait any amount of time. Then we assume once they went to a ger, that's it. Then already we don't have any issue. He's not doing it fully voluntarily, yeah. He's not really forced, but he has emes rabba. He has fear of his master. Yeah, well, no. He's not totally forced. The master has to tell him, as the Gemara says in Yevamos, do you want to be an Eved Kanani and be like Kachol Ksheira Yisrael? And if the guy agrees, then not. And if not, then the master has 12 months, and then he has to sell him to a guy or whatever, unless they make a condition ahead of time. There was a whole Gemara over there in Yevamos. There's a whole story about it. So there does have to be an agreement. But on the other hand, there does have to be a certain willingness. But on the other hand, practically speaking, Emes Rabba, usually a Eved is going to follow what his master tells him to do. As opposed to a regular run-of-the-mill ger, yeah, that's different. I mean, anyway, the point is the halacha is not like Shmuel. Well, so actually, whether the halacha is like Shmuel, actually, I should say, is not so simple. So let's continue learning the Gemara, and then we'll talk about whether the halacha is like him. That again, that avodim until a certain amount of time has passed, till nishtaka shem of a dezonim p.m. Whether they can make the ayin netzach, that's what we're going to discuss now. Gufa. So getting back to that, Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, Halakeach Avodim in a Ovid Chavim. If somebody buys Avodim from Goyim, Afa Fisham Molo Vetovlu, we said Shmuel says even if they had Mila and Tevila, they went through the entire process, still Oisin Yain Netzach Hachatishka Avodim Chavim Mepiyam. Nevertheless, they're still able to make a Yain Netzach until Avodah Zarah leaves their mouth, until they don't commonly talk about Avodah Zarah anymore. Vekama, how long is that? Omer of Shmuel, maybe I'd shnei mos chodesh. That means until 12 months. And we find in different places in Torah that 12 months is considered to be a period of time in which you could forget something. There's an expression, the Gemara says that a mess is usually not forgotten before 12 months have passed. The Ramban says this is the idea behind the fact that the Torah says, Bote Odechoma, a city, you know, a house in a walled city, you only have 1 year to buy it back, and if not, then the other guy owns it permanently, because after a year, it's like you hardly remember you own it anymore. And psychologically, after a year, you sold something you don't yet. You sold it, yeah.
Okay. You can buy it back until...
You have a year to buy it back. It. Yeah. Okay. So Rabba asked Rav Nachman, I have a sphira as follows. The same braisa that we just quoted.
Ever someone sold the house.
And it only applies in the Yovel. No? It only applies in walled cities in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. The same braisa that we had before. You buy it.
But it applies today.
It applies when the Yovel is noyig. The Yovel is not noyig now.
But
the Yovel is not noyig nowadays. When Mashiach comes, it'll be noyig again. Okay. So Rabba asked Rav Nachman, what are you telling me this idea that avodim can still make it yain netzach that you bought from goyim until nishtak Hashem avodah zarah p'yam? Again, the same bright. If you buy avodim from a goy that they had mila but not tevila, or similarly sons of shvachos that had mila but not tevila. Again, now Shmuel was talking about they have mila and tevila, but we're going to see how this seems to contradict him. Again, ruk on a madras and bashuk tame. So there's saliva and anything that they step on in the shuk. Again, even in the shuk, even though you would think it's sopik tumah versus rabim. No, it's tame because it's not a sopik tumah, it's a vade tumah. They're goyim and therefore the dinim still apply to them. The amri la tahar, but others say that it's tahar, again, because the milsud la shchech is an uncommon circumstance and the chachamim don't usually make zeros for such things. Yenon, what about wine that they touch? Golim oisin yain netzach. If these avodim are older, then they're able to make a yain netzach. Tanim ein oisin yain netzach. If they're younger, then they can't.
And it's mila, but not tefila.
But not right. Elohim golim ve'elohim tanim. And again, what are golim? What are tanim? Golim means shiyodim mitiv avodis kachavim l'misham she'ah. Golim means that they know what avodah zarah is about and they know what it's involved in the worship of it. Tanim she'ein yodim mitiv avodis kachavim l'misham she'ah. So, the point is, Katoni Mias, the point is, how is this a contradiction to Shmuel? The Braisa says, when are they able to make a Yayin Netzach? Molu v'loi tovlu ein. Only if they only had Mila but not Tvila. Molu v'tovlu loy, implying that if they had Mila and Tvila, they can't make Yayin Netzach. So Shmuel is saying that they can't. Shmuel is saying they still can as long as they're still mentioning Avodah Zarah. The Braisa is contradicting. The answer is again, Tirgumah Abnei Shvach. It's fine, but you can explain that the statement about the wine is not referring to the slaves that you bought from Goyim. It's referring to Bnei Shvach, the ones who were born in a Jewish household. Where then we can say that then we can say that they were raised in a Jewish household, so therefore we're not making a zera on them when they're younger, only when they're older, since molos al chazur. But the ones who were bought from goyim need more than that. They need molu and tovlu and nishtak hashem
of
itazar.
But the parents already were of this.
Well, they were born in a Jewish household. The shifcha maybe didn't do tefillah yet, so therefore, but the kid was raised around Jews, but still. So therefore, according to Shmuel, so we'd say the opposite. So again, before on Omer Aleph, we explained this braita according to Rav, that we would say that where Rav again held that a tinek ben yomer is able to make yayin netzach, but only if he was, but not if he was born in a Jewish household. Not if he was born in a Jewish household. Shmuel was saying is going to understand the brayta differently. He's going to say even if they were born in a Jewish household, molov le'tovlu, even the kids are able to make it. So the kids still not fine because they don't know tshiva v'ris kusavim. The adults can, but Shmuel will hold, unlike Rav, that if they were bought from a goy, not only you need milah and tefillah, but you also need nishtak hashem of a dezara, which Rav doesn't hold of. Okay, so the question is again, v'chein katani, the same question as on Rav before. The Bryce said v'chein, which means that it's trying to equate the bnei ashvachos with the avodim who were bought from goyim. The answer is arukun u'midrasa, and that only applies to their saliva and their midras that we're saying that in that they're the same, that whether they're born in a Jewish household, but they still haven't had milah and tefillah, versus whether they're bought from a goy. Not as far as the ayin is. Again, the question is, hanuchal amanda amatame, fine, that works according to the opinion that says that their saliva and their midras is tame, that they're still considered full-fledged goyim for that purpose. El amanda amatar, but according to the opinion in the braisa, that says it's tar, ma'ikalamema, then what are you going to say? What's the point of comparison? If they didn't have mila and tefillah yet, then why are we comparing? Why should it be tar, right? Now, the answer is, we're going to say the Braita wants to make a comparison between the Avodim, who were bought from the Goyim, versus the Bnei Shfachos, who were born in a Jewish household. Ma Bnei Shfachos, just like with the Bnei Shfachos, G'dolim hu de'osim yayin netzach, k'tanim ein osim yayin netzach, only the adults are able to make yayin netzach, the children not, and that even Rav agrees to. Ah, Avodim Nami, the Shmuel will say, that's the comparison, that even Avodim also, the same thing, who were bought from Goyim, the same thing, G'dolim osim yayin netzach, k'tanim ein osim yayin netzach, only if they're adults can they make a yayin netzach, not if they're k'tanim, la'apukim midirav, which means, which contradicts what Rav said, d'amar Rav tinik ben yayin osim yayin netzach, who says that even a one-day-old, even a newborn child can make a yayin netzach, kamash mo'an d'loi, therefore Shmuel wants to tell us his understanding of the Braita is not like one. So now, who is the halacha like is an interesting question. Usually, when it comes to dinei iser v'heser, the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel. So on the face of it, the halacha looks to be like Rav. On the other hand, on Omer Aleph, we had Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explaining something according to Shmuel's opinion. We said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explained, when is it tishka, but it's the chavim apiyim, is after 12 months. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is from a previous generation. He's an older contemporary of Rav and Shmuel. Therefore, he was an older Talmud of Levi than them. He's still pretty much a Tana. He's more Tana than an Amora, whereas Rav and Shmuel are Amoraim, and Rav is maybe a little bit of a Tana. Rav Tana or Pali. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi outranks them. In that case, the halacha ought to be like Shmuel. So in practice, so like Shmuel, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explains it, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explains in accordance with it. So you have different Rishonim take different sides on it. The Bahag, for example, paskins like Shmuel.
The
Baal HaLachos Gerv, that's one of the Goyim. One of the early Goyim, Rabbi Yehudai Goyim. He paskins like Shmuel, so therefore a newborn child would not be able to make the Ayin Netzach. But on the other hand, Avodim who were bought from Goyim, you'd have to wait until Shtaka Avodizonim PM for them to not make the Ayin Netzach. On the other hand, the Rif and most of the later Rishonim after him paskin like Rav, according to the usual rule that Halacha is like Rav against Shmuel, and therefore it means Tinik Ben Yomer can make the Ayin Netzach, not as far as Ahnah, but at least as far as Shia, because Rav himself made that. Very nice, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, but they would say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi maybe said his statement as an independent statement, and then the Gemara attached it to. In other words, he didn't necessarily come to explain Shmuel again. As the next generation, he's not going to be coming to explain what Shmuel is saying. He made a general statement in some other context that 12 months is enough for something to be forgotten, and the Gemara attached it to what Shmuel was saying over here. So that doesn't prove the halacha should be like Shmuel. So that you have to have different opinions among the Shonim. So Tosfos has a long discussion about over here in the Tosfos Lapuki. Lamaisa in Shulchan Aruch it passes like the second way, that the halacha is like Rav and not like Shmuel. So we're machmir as far as the child, but we're makel as far as the eved, that we don't care if the shtaka shame of it is on the people. Once he has mila and tefila, we don't care what kind of getchkes or whatever he's mentioning in his daily conversation, it's still okay. Another case. Hahu uvda dehava b'mechuzah. There was a certain case in mechuzah as follows. Also, Israel, a guy came into a Jew's store where wine was being sold. A chanus, that doesn't necessarily have to mean a store, it could mean something more like a tavern or a bar, whatever. Omalu, islahu chamer lezaboni. The guy asked, do you have any wine to sell? Omalu loy. So the yid tells him no. Now he actually did have wine to sell, but he didn't want to sell it to this particular person. Maybe he didn't want to have to deal with all the complications of yayin nesach. Whatever, anyway. Have a yosef chamra bedabla. Well, there was some wine sitting there in a bucket. The guy stuck his hand into it and swirled around the wine. And he says, "Hi, lab chamrahu. Isn't this wine? What are you talking about? You have no wine to sell. There's some perfectly good wine right here." The Jew, the owner, got mad at him. And so Shadye Ladana, so he took that wine that the guy had put his hand into and poured it into the barrel. Like, it's off limits for you. I refuse to pour the wine from the back. So now the question becomes, he didn't realize, obviously afterwards he was upset, he wasn't thinking straight, so afterwards he realized, hey, you know, I have a problem, that was a big problem. Exactly. So what happened? Shalya Rava Lazabuni La'odikachavim, Rava allowed him to sell that wine to Goyim, meaning again, it's Mutsu Bahana, it's just also to drink. Now, so there is Tosfos discusses, among other things, the question is, would Rava only say that because it's mixed into the barrel, but he would say differently if it was still in the bucket. If the bucket was still there, then maybe it would be Osir B'Shtia as well, or maybe not. Maybe even if it was in the bucket, it would only be Osir B'Hana, and it would only be Osir B'Shtia, but Mutar B'Hana. And Tosfos discusses on the next Amud at some length the pros and cons of each explanation. Anyway, so that was Rava. However, if the galera puna bachinin,
he shaked it.
Yeah, he did shake it. No, it wasn't necessarily the shema v'dezara, but he did touch it. He did touch it. He mixed it around with his hand. Yeah. What? He was upset that the Jew didn't want to sell him, so he stuck his hand in. So he didn't necessarily do nisuch. He didn't necessarily do nisuch, but on the other hand, he did know that he did stick his hand in there, right, with intent. So that's the thing. When Rava is saying that's mutar b'hana, that's the question. Is Rava talking about it's mutar b'hana only because it was mixed into the barrel, not so much bottle of shishim. We're going to see soon. He's going to say that you can sell the whole barrel minus that amount of wine. Or does he mean the same gin would apply? Or does he mean a similar gin would apply even if it was still in the bucket? Even if it's not mixed in with anything else, maybe is Rava maybe saying they also? That'd be more. Okay. Anyway, well, that's Rava. If the galay Rav Huna bar Chinina and Rav Huna Breder of Nachman, however, Rav Huna bar Chinina and Rav Huna Breder of Nachman disagreed with Rava on that, and they held this Osabana. So Nafti she put it to Rava Vasharu. Shofaris were blown from Rava's household or from his yeshiva or whatever to announce that it's mutter. They used to blow shofaris in those days when they had an announcement to make. But Nafti she put it to Rav Huna bar Chinina and Rav Huna bar Nachman Vasri. But then Rav Huna bar Chinina and Rav Huna bar Nachman put out shofaris saying it's also. So now later on, Rashi. Okay. Here we have in the next half an Amud, we have different explanations of Rashi and Tosfos. What happened? What happened? What was the next part of the story over here? So we'll start first according to Rashi. Later on, at some later point, Rava ended up changing his mind because, as the Gemara is going to say soon, Abaya ended up bringing proofs against Rava's opinion. So at some later date, after Rava had already changed his mind. Because of Abaya's proofs. So therefore it became Osir. So therefore Rava himself agreed that it's Osir. Yeah. Later on, Ikla Rav Huna Breder of Nachman the Mechuzah, later on Rav Huna Breder of Nachman, one of the ones who had disagreed with Rava before, came to visit Mechuzah. Amalei Rava L'Rav Eliyakim Shamei. So Rava says to his Mishore, to his attendant, Rav Eliyakim, Shroik Shroik Gali, close the doors tightly, D'Lenesu Inshid Nisrid, that people shouldn't come and bother me. So Rashi learns that it means he didn't want that Rav Huna, Breder of Nachman, should come to visit, and he's going to go and bring him all kinds of proofs against what he said before, because Rava had already changed his mind anyway. He didn't want to get into a whole argument about it with Rav Huna Barav Nachman now. So therefore Rashi learns, he's saying, close the doors, this way he shouldn't be able to get in and start bugging me about this. Well, Olagabe, well, Rav Huna Breder of Nachman managed to get there anyway. Omale, Kihai Gavnamai. So Rav Huna Breder of Nachman says, so what would be the din in a case like this? Omalei also after the Bana. And Rava says it would be also Bana, because again, now he had changed his mind based on Abaye's proofs. So the question is, but didn't you yourself say in this connection that just because a goy does shikshuk, just because a goy stirs some wine with his hand or whatever, doesn't automatically make it yayin nesech? So why are you saying now it's shikshuk? Means like you take it, you move around your hand, yeah. So you yourself said that that doesn't make it yayin nesech. And Rava answers, Emru da amri ano, levami jome, dahu chamra. Yes, but even if I said that, I only said that as far as exclusive of the value of that wine. In other words, you have the bucket held, let's say, 1 gallon of wine.
He's saying only
the wine in the bucket had been moved around, right? So Rava is saying like this. What I would say, when I said that shikshik doesn't make it yayin nesech, what I mean is like this. If the bucket, let's say, holds a gallon, which is worth $1, and the barrel, let's say, holds 10 gallons and is worth $10, so if you have now the bucket, the contents of the bucket has been poured into the barrel, so now you have 10 gallons of there, one that was in the bucket and nine that was in there before, if you're allowed to sell it to a guy for $9. You can't sell it for the value of the parts that shikshuk was done in. You have to give it back to him, because that would be having enough from that, but you can sell the rest of the barrel. You can have enough from the rest. Did I ever say that even the value of that wine itself would be mutter? Now, actually, Rashi says, now, that's not what Rava had said before. When Rava had said before that Mutar Bana, he meant even what was in the bucket before. But now, the whole amount. In other words, you could sell the whole 10 gallons now for $10. However, now that he changed his mind, Rashi says, and again, he didn't even want to have to confront Rav Huna Barav Nachman in the first place, but now that Rav Huna Barav Nachman is in front of him and asking him about it, so he changed his story. He was embarrassed to say that he was embarrassed to say that before he had held the whole thing as mutter, and now he's saying the whole thing is osir on the basis of a biased proofs that we're going to bring soon. So therefore, he tried to kind of split the difference.
Now he's saying the whole thing is
before he was arguing the whole thing is mutter, and they were arguing the whole thing is osir.
Right.
After Abaye's proofs, which we're going to quote soon, he agreed that all of it is offered. But now, when Rav Huna Breder of Nachman is in front of him, he didn't want to admit that he had said that the whole thing is mutter, and therefore he made it sound as though he had been master only the 9/10 of it, he would have said the whole thing is mutter, yes. And the Gemara says, Omar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, how did I come to change my mind? Ki asoy la Pumbedista, when I came to Pumbedista, Akfa Nachmeni, so Nachmeni, which is a nickname for Abaye, some say it was his real name and Abaye is his nickname, some say Abaye is his real name and Nachmeni is his nickname, whatever. Anyway, so Nachmeni is Abaye, surrounded me, Shmaitzo Umasnista, he surrounded me, he overwhelmed me with Shmaitzo, with statements of Amoraim, Umasnista, and proofs from Brisus, the author, which shows that it's author, and I had to concede that it's author. Before we get to that, we may as well explain. So Tosfos has a whole different explanation over here. Among other things, Tosfos says that if Rava changed his mind, why would he mind meeting up with Rava Barav Nachman and they could discuss now? Okay, now we both agree it's author. So what's the problem? Why is he fearing this? And why is he saying Nesu Inshi that people shouldn't come? He should just say specifically him. Tosfos has a number of problems with Rashi's explanation. So Tosfos explains rather a different girsa. It wasn't Rav Huna Breder of Nachman who visited. It was Rav Nachman, Rava's own Rebbe. the Rava wanted to have a private conversation with Rav Nachman to ask whether he had passed him correctly, and therefore he says to the people, close the doors over there because I want to have some time alone with Rav Nachman, and I don't want other people to come in and start interfering in the conversation. And then, so now it goes chronologically. He asks Rav Nachman whether he had done the right thing. Rav Nachman tells him, when I said that shichshich does not make an osur, I only meant as far as what was in the barrel that wasn't that this guy had to touch. I never talked about what was in the bucket itself. Of course, that's osur. And now later on, Rava says, so originally again he had held all of it as osur. Later on, now that Rav Nachman comes and Rav Nachman clarifies, I only mean that 9/10 of it is what's in the bucket is also b'ana, everything else is mutar b'ana. And later on, Rava says, later on, I visited Pumbedisa and Abaya pointed out to me that even that is wrong, the whole thing is also. So what are these proofs that Abaya brought? Shmaisa, you have a statement of Amoraim is as follows. There was a case like that in Nahajah. But also Shmuel, who was the Rosh Hashiva over there, Paskin as author, Vana, completely. And Tveria, and a similar case happened in Tveria. But also Rav Yechanan, and Rav Yechanan after it over there, Rav Yechanan being the Rosh Hashiva there. Same type of case. There was a similar case. Well, not necessarily a bucket and a barrel. The point is something similar like that, where you had wine that a goy touched got mixed in with other wine. So Abaye says to me, well, in that case, then you see it's also. But Amrilay, so Rava says, I said to Abaye, that doesn't prove anything. Maybe it's just Lafisha Ain and B'nai Torah. Maybe the difference is that the people...
The proof that Abaye gave him from this story.
Rava says, I argued that after all, maybe they don't amount to anything because maybe in those places, Sha'ain and B'nai Torah, maybe they're not such B'nai Torah in these places, and therefore the Chachamim had to find a reason to... Therefore the Chachamim wanted to say it also because they were afraid people are going to get too careless with the dinim of Yain Netzah.
But really not.
But Amali and Abaye answers me with an eyes in a terrace. What are you talking about? Tveria and Nahajah, Ainim B'nai Torah, the Mechuzah B'nai Torah. So what are you telling me? The people in Tveria and the people in Nahajah are not going to be B'nai Torah, but you're arguing me the people in Mechuzah, if you're in your hometown, where most of them are business people, are B'nai Torah? No, meaning in other words, if you're going to argue that maybe they had reason, that maybe Shmuel and Rav Yechanan had reason to be machmer because the people in their towns are not B'nai Torah, then you, Rava, should realize the people in your hometown are for sure not B'nai Torah. So if you have to be machmer because they're not B'nai Torah, then fine, you have to be machmer in your city also. So that was the Shmaisa, that was the proof from Amoraim that Abaya brought to Rava to prove to him that his original opinion was mistaken. And Masnisa, and what do we have a Braisa for this effect? We have a braisa de agardamim. We have a braisa regarding agardamim, which is market inspectors. Rashi explains that these are people, we learned about them in Bava Basra. These are people who are they're appointed by the government to make sure that the weights and measures are honest.
Oh.
But also Rashi says sometimes they taste the wine.
That's
agardamim. Their job is to make sure that the weights and the measures are honest and everything. And also Rashi says sometimes they taste the wine. And today they have, you have government inspectors sometimes, you know how you have on things like gas pumps and whatever, you know, it has to be inspected once a year or whatever. Those people are the equivalent of the agardamim, So, also Rashi says sometimes they'll taste the wine in the course of their duties. Some of the other Mephoshim, Rabbeinu Yohanan says the vote is the Agadimim are not maybe so much in charge of measures, but they're in charge of making sure of quality. They don't want people, you don't want to have people selling bad quality wine and pretending it's good quality, so the Agadimim would come around and give a taste test to see if it tastes okay.
But they have no intention of this, all right.
That's the point. That's what we're going to discuss. Wait. Also, another one of the Mepharshim, the Avodah says that also Rashi uses the expression that the Agardimim sometimes is go-between, and the Avodah explains what Rashi means is because the Agardimim is always there in the market, sometimes he ends up being a go-between. This person is selling wine. He finds there's somebody else in the market who's looking to buy wine, and therefore the Agardimim, besides going about his official duties, will unofficially go and taste the wine and then go over and tell the other guy, hey, you know, this is good wine, you should buy it, or this is...
take a commission.
Maybe, I don't know. Okay, so, now the Braita says, so if you have an agardamim, who is a guy, who drilled a hole in the top of the barrel and put in a meneket, which is a straw. Kodachim, he drilled a hole. Vimei Nekes, with a straw. So he sticks in a straw over there to suck out some of the wine to taste. The Hela, and so he brings up some of the wine from there. Osha Tom in a coast that Zirulachovis, or the Tagardimim takes a drink from a cup of wine that the storekeeper gives him, and then he pours the rest back into the barrel. There was such a case, and they said it's also. So therefore we see the whole thing becomes also, not just what he touched. So my lavana, Lachora then Abaya says, well, so that's Abaya says trouble. Lachora doesn't mean when we say also, it means also bahana.
It means aser bahana.
That's the question. The answer is Rava says not necessarily. Doesn't mean also bahana. So Rava says, loy b'shtia, not necessarily. Maybe it means only also to drink, but the rest of it is mutar bahana. Now again, remember the Agdardimim had no particular intention of nisuch over here, but he did intend to touch the wine. That's the point. That's the point that a number of the Rishonim say, as long as he intended to touch the wine, even if he didn't have intention of nisuch, that's enough. If he had no intention to touch it, that's different. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Ihochi, listening to Yimacher, in that case, then the Braisa should continue. That instead of using the word Va'asruhu, the Braisa should say that the whole barrel of wine has to be sold to Goyim. Kid Katoni Sefer, just like it continues in the Braisa gives us another case. Chorom Oved Kachovim, if you have a crazy guy, Rashi says Meshugo Balman Rivo, so a person who's crazy and easy and easily starts fights, so he does things impulsively. An impulsive guy, Shahushit Yadi Lachovis, who sticks his hand into a barrel, or Kasavar Shal Shemini, and he thinks that it's wine, that it's oil, Venimtis Shoyai, and it turns out instead it was wine. In that case, such a case happened, and the Chacham said you have to sell it, meaning it's also to drink, but it's mutar b'hana. So if the case of the Agdardimim is also meant to be that you're allowed to have hana from the barrel, and you just have to sell it to goyim, then it should say the same word, yimacher, instead of saying asruhu.
He thought it was oil.
That's the point. Because of that, that makes a difference in the halacha. In the case of the impulsive goy, it's only also to drink. Therefore, yimacher, you sell the whole barrel to goyim. In the case
because
of the Agdardimim, right? Because he had no intention to touch wine, exactly. Here, the Agdardimim intended to touch wine because it's part of his official duty. Therefore, and if the Braisa says asruhu, that must mean also bahana. And therefore, Tiyuf did the Rava. This is a clear contradiction against Rava, who argued that's mutter. Tiyuf says yes. In fact, it's a contradiction, and that's it. The halacha is not like Rava. The halacha is like the other chachamim, like Rav Huna Bar Chinan and Rav Huna Bar Nachman, who said that it's also, and Rava himself, as we said at the top of the Amud, ended up changing his mind in the face of these arguments that Abaya brought to base.
So the bucket and the rest of it will all be also bahana.
Again, nowadays, when you have that the goyim among whom we live in general do not have attention to nitzuch at all because they don't do nitzuch for their idols. So therefore, so according to many rishonim, it's only also b'shtia, but it's mutar b'hana. And then if they touched it without intent at all, it might be even mutar b'shtia.
So today, everything is also b'shtia, but not b'hana.
But not necessarily b'hana.
So you can
according to some rishonim anyway, right? The whole thing is only Darabonim even in those days. The only thing that's Daraisa is if they actually literally pick up some of it and do nisuch, pouring it in honor of a gesh. That would be also Daraisa. Everything else,
that
we're saying, is also Darabonim.
No,
that's an opinion that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's an opinion that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. There's what to be done. What do we do in practice? I don't know. In general, I mean, you don't necessarily see Jews doing business using goyish wine, but because in general you're not allowed to do business with these sort of with things that you're also to eat anyway. But so what would it mean in practice if you have a bottle of Sam Yenim, would you be allowed to sell it to give it to your goyish friend or whatever? Maybe, yeah, could be. The Ramah brings, for example, an example that we talked about before, the case if a goy touches wine accidentally using something else. So we said that technically it should be mutu even to drink. However, the Ramah says the aim of farsimadaba with neama oris. Don't publicize this before the amia oris, because then you're going to start. So it is mutu technically, but
Sina,
yeah. So let's say, for example, what we mean is that a few possibilities that Ramah says. One is if he touched it without intending to touch it, or he didn't know that it was wine, like the case over here involving the oil. So yeah, so aim of fire some adobo about it. And then you also have a case where he touches it al yaday gava achel, knowing that it's wine. So like the case before, he touched it with the lulav. There it was. He didn't mean to touch it at all. But let's say he knew that it was wine, but he touched it with something else. That would be another one of those cases that we say technically it's mutter, but don't aim of fire in it to the amir artists, because they're going to get careless with these.